It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Imagine being a modern-day teenager who is mysteriously transported back to the time of the Holocaust. The Devil's Arithmetic is an historic novel about the Holocaust by author Jane Yolen. It's been adapted for the theater by Lancaster, PA resident Barry Kornhauser. This weekend, Prime Stage Theater gives the first performance of the adapted play at the New Hazlett Theater on the North Side. We visited one of their rehearsals in Oakland and talked with the playwright and director.
Oh, but let me introduce you. This is Shifra and Esther. And I am Rachel. I am going to be your best friend.
I already have a best friend. At home. Her name is Rosemary.
What kind of name is Rosemary?
It is a goyish name.
You mean to say your best friend is not a Jew?
As a matter of fact, she's Catholic. As if that matters.
As if that matters. My mother will not even let me talk to a goy.
Hello, my name is Julia Zerato, and I'm from Point Breeze.
Hi, my name is Lily Lover. I'm from Mount Lebanon.
Hi, my name is Victoria Pearl. I'm from the Murraysville area.
Hi, my name is Megan Krall, and I am from the city of Pittsburgh.
With the help of these local teenage actors, director Lisa Ann Goldsmith explains how the story of The Devil's Arithmetic is meant to engage young audiences and help them better understand what happened during the Holocaust.
So this is a story about Hannah, who is a young 14-year-old girl who lives in Westchester County in New York. Her family is Jewish. She goes to a public school. She has a lot of non-Jewish friends. Her best friend is a Catholic girl named Rosemary. And it has gotten to the point where it's Passover, and she doesn't want to celebrate with her family. She wants to be with her friend and eat chocolate Easter eggs and bunnies and peeps and all that kind of stuff. And so her mom and dad have told her that she has to go celebrate Passover with her family, especially because her grandfather and her great aunt are Holocaust survivors. Now, the issue is that Hannah doesn't want to remember. She doesn't want to have to remember all of that, and she doesn't want to have to be faithful to her religion. And so during the Passover Seder, there is a moment where you open the door, you pour a glass of wine for Elijah, the prophet. In the Bible, Elijah is the prophet that is supposed to come back to the earth to let the Jewish people know of the arrival of the Messiah. And he also comes back to earth for two reasons. He comes back to earth to comfort Jews that are in distress, and he also comes back to earth to bring the knowledge of the Torah to Jews that are worthy. So in the book, Hannah goes to open the door for Elijah and gets transported back in time and awakes, basically, comes through the door in a Polish shtetl in 1942 before they start rounding up the Jews.
As years pass since the Holocaust happened, since the end of World War II, do you get the feeling that there is this, that we're losing this sense of what the Holocaust was really about and what happened? And is this a vehicle for restoring that?
Absolutely. I was the educational theater director for a group of theaters in Long Island, and we had done a performance of Diary of Anne Frank. And this is New York, where there was an extraordinarily large Jewish population. And one of the eighth graders in the talkback afterwards said, well, my parents told me the Holocaust never happened. So it's very prevalent these days that there are a lot of people that believe the hyperbole that the Holocaust never happened. And now, especially, you know, with stuff that's going on in the Ukraine, there's a huge anti-Semitic movement that's going on in Hungary right now. This kind of stuff is rearing its head again, and it can happen in an instant the way that it happened in Germany. And so the importance of this work is to remind people that it's still very much alive, that anti-Semitism is very much alive. I mean, there's been genocide, you know, in other countries, in Serbia, in Africa. If people think that it can happen again, they are very much mistaken. And we have to remember the steps that were taken to that point, because we have to prevent it before it happens again.
Now, you are working with young actors mm-hmm. who are portraying the characters in this play. Do you see them evolving not just as actors but as people learning about the Holocaust as they rehearse this and get ready to perform it?
Do you know that there are only 5 states in the United States that have mandatory Holocaust education? And Pennsylvania is not one of them. So the interesting thing about working with these kids is that actually, the two girls that go to a Catholic school are the only ones that have gotten any Holocaust education so far. So I have done a lot of preparation with them. So we have gone through what the religion means, what Passover means, why the Nazis did what they did. It wasn't random that they shaved their heads. It wasn't random that they tattooed them. They tattooed them because if you're a Jew, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. If you're a Jew, you're supposed to have your head covered in the sight of God, which is why they shaved their heads. Everything that they did was insidious and meant to destroy their humanity. And the interesting thing is, I actually spoke to a 92-year-old Holocaust survivor a few weeks ago. And the thing that she said was that the more that they tried to break their humanity, the more that the Jews felt it was important to keep their humanity. And that it was the ones that survived, it was because others in the camp helped them survive. So, you know, I'll talk to these girls about, you know, what it would be like all of a sudden if in the middle of the night somebody knocked down your door and grabbed your father or your mother out of their bed and pulled them through the door at gunpoint and you never saw them again. And they were like, wow, can that really happen? And I said, that's exactly what happened.
So are they understanding this now to the point where they can make it real? They can make the experience for the audience seem real, especially when added to the whole idea of the suspension of disbelief is this science fiction, otherworldly element of the girl in the play, Hannah, yeah, traveling back through time.
Yeah, absolutely. We have gone through so many. I have given them a whole bunch of videos of Holocaust survivors, a whole bunch of documentaries. We have talked about it. There's been moments, like one of the scenes in the play is where all the Jews are packed into a boxcar. And we sat around for, you know, 35 minutes, and I said, what do you think you would be feeling at this moment when what prefaced you being pushed into a boxcar in the heat without any food, without any water, without any place to relieve yourself after having marched for 12 hours and then having to lay down on the ground face down for another 10 hours in the dirt and the rocks? How do you think you'd feel after 4 days in a boxcar? And so it was important for me to sort of lead them through, you know, emotional recall, to have them feel their way through so they understand what these people felt like by the time they got out. So it's been a process of taking kids that are, you know, especially kids nowadays, they are so wrapped up in the electronics that they have difficulty relating on a one-to-one level anyway. They have difficulty talking to you and looking you in the eyes. So that was a huge thing to get past, to just have them understand that having a pair of shoes is a major, major deal in your life.
Playwright Barry Kornhauser adapted Jane Yolen's novel, The Devil's Arithmetic, for the stage, and he explains why he took on this project.
It's a book I was well acquainted with. I have three kids. The oldest one's about 30 years old. This book came out pretty much the time my kids were very little, and I remember purchasing it and reading it even then, and the kids grew up with it. So it's a story that has been, you know, important to me personally. It's, you know, a very powerful and poignant look at the Holocaust through the eyes of a young contemporary teen, which I think is a great way to reach young people.
What about this story speaks to you in terms of a vehicle for reminding people, especially young people, of explaining what the real horrors of the Holocaust are?
Yeah, well, there are a couple ways to answer that. One is, firstly, it doesn't pull punches. It's very graphic in its portrayal of what goes on in the Holocaust, which is unusual for a book written for young people. But the very fact that its protagonist is a young kid from contemporary America, and we've kind of updated it, it's not 1989 anymore, it's, you know 2013 or so, which is about just the edge you can get to because there are very few Holocaust survivors left, and so for her to have grandparents, you know, can't get much beyond that, I suppose. But because it's seen through this eyes of this Hannah Stern, it's really all about taking this epic long-ago event and bringing it to life in a very vivid way for modern young people.
As you set down notes and ideas for piecing together how to stage this, what did you have to do to take it off the page and stage it? Because you can't do a literal, you can't take all the words and all the details. So how did you decide what was important to keep in?
Yeah, well, it's tricky, and it's interesting. Undoubtedly, if somebody else did the adaptation, different choices would be made. It's basically kind of, you're doing the best you can to honor the intent and the vision of the original author, and then looking at what's essential and maybe what has to go for very many practical reasons, more so often than aesthetic reasons, you know, the size of the cast, the length of the performance, all those kinds of issues. So there are characters in the book that don't appear on the stage. There are others that are sort of amalgams of different characters. Situations are sometimes condensed, but we tried to take with the heart and the guts of the book and keep that alive in the stage. And, you know, we've been working with Jane Yolen from the very scratch. I think we're on about draft 9 now, and through every one of these drafts, Jane's been a part of it.
Were there certain things that you found yourself incorporating into your adaptation specifically to reach young people who may not be skeptical, but just are distracted by all of the things in modern life that don't allow you to consider history?
Yeah. Well, again, I think very much the point of her book. It's about not remembering and the importance of remembering. And so, again, she gives the central character in this book that very predicament. You know, I dismiss all this. I don't want anything to do with it. Family's not important to me. You know, typical teenage things, I think. And that, right away, I think connects kids to it because they see themselves in Hannah. But beyond that, and again, this is where we update a little bit with Jane's permission, there are a lot of contemporary references, particularly to movies and whatnot, that Hannah uses because she's a great storyteller, and that comes in very important throughout the book.
So, tell us about Lublin.
New Rochelle.
What?
Never mind. Lublin. Why not? In Lublin, I lived in a house with 8 rooms, and the toilets are inside. One upstairs and one downstairs.
In the house?
Disgusting.
What else,
Kaya?
Well, during the week I go to school, and then...
School too? Only boys are allowed to school here. I've always wanted to go.
You want to go? No one I know does. We can't wait for Saturdays. That's when Rosemary and I go shopping at the mall, and then...
Shopping? On the Sabbath?
I heard once about a girl who disguised herself as a boy and went into the yeshiva to study Torah. But I do not believe it.
I know that story. It's the movie Yentl. We rented it on Netflix.
Netflix?
Barbara Streisand plays Yentl.
Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, she chops off her hair and then...
Chops off her hair? And not married?
We have never seen a movie, but we have heard of them.
But not this Barbara Streisand.
Never mind for movies, and no more interruptions. Tell us the story of Yentl Chaya from the beginning.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Barry Kornhauser, who is the author of the stage adaptation of The Devil's Arithmetic, the book written by Jane Yolen. It's being staged by Prime Stage Theater in Pittsburgh at the New Hazlett Theater May 10th through May 18th. What do you hope to see from the audience in terms of their reaction? How do you hope to reach them?
Your hope is that kids are touched by the book, so it has a personal impact, and at least they, as individuals, grow up being much more empathetic, I guess would be a good thing that could happen as a consequence.
Did you find yourself, as you were writing this, maybe wrestling with ways to create the suspension of disbelief because you have the whole time travel element here, and you have to make people buy into that? So what were the challenges for you in doing that?
Yeah, well, personally, I felt the same way a little bit. I'm not a big fan of the time travel kind of motif, but in this case, it works on a lot of levels. I think there's a whole symbolic notion of that, how you need to actually be brought back into your past to understand the potentials in your future and in your present. And so that happens for real in this book in some sense. You know, and Jane had set it up in such a way that you could say, did this really happen? And she leaves that deliberately ambiguous, I think. Now, based on what happens in the book and a little epilogue, it seems like, yes, this really does happen to Hannah, as impossible as it might seem. But again, if we talk about the religious significance of all this and the role of the prophet Elijah, and to help us remember, it's a kind of a real interesting way to show it.
And explain the importance of this, of expressing the symbolism of Easter and Passover in telling this story.
It being Passover is very important, I think, in a lot of ways. I mean, that's a very huge transitional period in the Jewish story. That's that freedom from slavery in Egypt and taking that journey, which is, a very physical journey, into freedom. And I think so here Hannah has to take her own kind of journey.
That was playwright Barry Kornhauser, who authored the stage adaptation of The Devil's Arithmetic. It opens this week at the New Hazlett Theater on the North Side. The show runs from May 10th through May 18th.
For more information, visit our website at wesa.fm. Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. If you missed any portion of our program or would like to revisit past segments, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. Until next time, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everyone.